And we're holding on Vov Amar Aleph, the first line. We're in the middle of as follows. The Gemara had quoted a Braisa, where we'd started discussing the question how we know that an animal that is Trefa is possible for a Korban. So ultimately, the Braisa said we learn it from the fact that the Pasuk is Min HaBakr. But the question is why we needed that. On the face of it, we should be able to make a Kal Vachomer to say that a Trefa would be possible as a Korban. So the Braisa had gone through some back and forth on that, and then finally the Braisa had said, finally the Braisa had gotten to a point where it said, V'imhe Shavta, if you're going to try and refute and say that, and say that we have a logical reason to say that a Trefa would in fact be Osir, then I'll tell you that we actually have the Pasuk tells us, Min HaBakar, meaning Lahotzias HaTrefa. So the Gemara was trying to figure out what does Imhe Shavta mean? What is the potential argument that we could have used to say that in fact the Braisa had brought a Kavachomer to say that a Trefa ought to be Osir, but then we say Imhe Shavta, you might try to slog up that Kavachomer, but the fact is the Pasuk says Min HaBakar, and that means Lahotzias HaTrefa. So what would have been that way of slogging up the Kal Vachomer? So the Gemara has been going through several possibilities. And each one, the Gemara shot down that each one, you're going to try to make a certain Kal Vachomer, or you're going to try to prove that the Kal Vachomer is not valid on the basis of a different din. And each time we're going to show there's something about that din that means that's not really relevant over here. And therefore, the original Kal Vachomer could conceivably have been valid, and say that would be a good enough reason to say that a Trefa shouldn't be brought as a Korban. So why does the Braisa ultimately say that we need the Pasuk for it if we could have learned it from a Kal Vachomer? So we've gone through several possibilities so far. So now the Gemara continues. Rav Shisha Bredir of Idi Omar, Rav Shisha Bredir of Idi says, when the Braisa says that you need the reason why you need the Drosha, Mishum de Ikal Meimar, is because like this, you might have said that, fine, so far we tried several individual things that we could try to learn from. We could try to learn from the fact that Minchas HaOmer, for example, is also for a head yet to eat, because it's Chodesh, but it's allowed to be brought like a Gavoya. But then we said that no, there's a special reason why that should be allowed. We tried, what about, for example, making a duplicate of the Torah, and making the Torah is also to do for a regular person, but is mutter for Hashem. But we said mitzvah sevakach. What about Shabbos? You're allowed to do malachas on Shabbos for the sake of the karbanos. But again, mitzvah sevakach. Kilayim, you're normally not allowed to wear kilayim, but you wear them for the big kahuna. And again, the answer was mitzvah sevakach. So each thing that we try to prove that a certain thing is osur for a hedya, and yet it's mutter l'gavoya, and therefore we ought to argue the same thing at Trefa. Each one, we shot those down and said there's no reason why we should think to learn from that, because each one of those is the actual mitzvah to do it that way, where there's no particular mitzvah to bring a Trefa as a korban. So now, if Shisha Breidin of Idi Omar, fine, you can't learn from any one individual thing, but Mishum Deikul Meimar, we could make a tzad ashova. Laheder din of a tasty b'mahat tzad. We should be able to go back and forth in the argument and be able to make a mahatsad argument, to find where what are two different dinim have in common, they both have in common, where it's also for a hedya, for mutter l'gavoya, and therefore we should argue a trefa should be the same thing. And that would explain very neatly why the Braisa is telling us then that you can't make that argument because the Pasuk says otherwise. What would be the argument? You'd start out Mala Malika, so we had brought one of the possibilities we had brought was Malika, the Braisa itself had mentioned Malika as a possibility. Okay, and you would say that an animal, a bird that was killed by Malika is also for a regular person to eat, but it's mutter to bring as a korban. In fact, that's the way you're supposed to bring it. And the Braisa said, but so therefore we could think to say it's trefa for the same thing, but the Braisa said, no, shekin k'dushasa is sarta. You would say that no, Malika is a special case because the very thing that makes it, the very thing that makes it kodesh, that makes it into a korban, is the same thing that makes it also to the head yet. Or that was a point to Rashi, a point to Tosfos. The vote is because it's kedusha, because of its kedusha, is why you don't do shchita like a normal bird. Instead, you do malika. So you're going to argue that, and therefore you can't learn from malika, but you would say chelev adam yechichu. Fine, but you could prove instead from chelev and blood, which are also to a regular person and mutter to the and mutter for the korban. You're going to say malach chelev adam shekin boring the klal heter, but you're going to argue, as we did before, that chelev and dam at least came from an animal that on the whole is mutter, and only the chelev and blood are osir. You would say malika tefiach. Well, then we'll prove to the contrary from malika, where even though the whole bird is osir because nevela, it's osir to a head. Yet nevertheless, the whole thing is mutter for a carbon. So therefore, so we see that neither one of those things, neither the fact that kedushasa is sauta, nor the fact that boring the klal heter is an exclusive reason to say that something should be mutter legavaya, because each one, only one of them has that feature, and the other one does not. So b'chazer adin. So we go back and forth. So loyda izek kiri izek, loyda izek kiri izek. Each one has a feature not like the other one. Atzada shama shabehen. What do they have in common? Shasurim lahedyot and mutarim lagavaya. They're both osur for a regular person, but they're mutter for Hashem. Afani obi terefa. Well, then we should be able to bring in terefa that would have the same logic. Afni shasurim lahedyot kei mutaris lagavaya. Even though it's osur for a regular person, but it would be mutter as a korban for Hashem. So therefore, so Rav Shisha, Rav Yehudi is saying that would be what the Braisa was implying. You could have used that argument to therefore say that a Terefa would be Mutter as a Korban, and therefore we need the Pasuk to tell us otherwise. But the Gemara says that still doesn't work. The fact is, each one of them, again, the mitzvah is like that. The mitzvah is that a bird has to be killed by Malika. The mitzvah is that the chelev and dam have to be offered to the mizbeach. There's no substitutes. As opposed to a terefa. Again, there's no requirement to bring a terefa animal as a carbon. So therefore, so you can't learn that way either. Ela omer Rav Ashi. So rather, Rav Ashi gives another answer. The reason the Braisa is implying with the phrase that it used, the phrase the im heshavta, you might want to answer, and you might think a reason to after all say you could bring a terefa. Rav Ashi says mishum de ikla meimer, because we could say neikur de dina pircha. The initial kavachomer is flawed. The initial kavachomer, never mind to try to bring a different din to disprove the Kavachomer. The Kavachomer itself is flawed. Meheicha k'maisis law. How was the Braisa trying to use the Kavachomer? Balmum. It was saying a balmum, which is allowed for a regular person to eat. There's no issur in shechting and eating a balmum, but you can't bring it as a korban. How much more so we should argue that a trefa, which is also for a regular person, should be also for a korban. But Rav Ashi points out that Kavachomer itself is flawed to begin with. Because malabal mum shekin also by makrivin kikrevin. Because you know what, with a mum, you have those who offer the korban have the same din as the things that are offered. Namely, the animal can't have a mum, the koyan who offers it can't have a mum either. As opposed to a koyan who's a trefa, is not in fact also to do the avoda. If a koyan has a hole in his lung, or he has any of the other 70, okay, there are a few of the conditions that are external. Maybe those would be also, but most trefas are internal. He'd be perfectly allowed to do the avoda. So therefore, you could say, therefore, so there's no reason why we should think that just because an animal that's a balmum cannot be offered, neither can a trefa, because you could say, on the other hand, a balmum, the koyan can't be a balmum, but he could be a trefa. So therefore, so then Rav Ashi is saying that would be the counter argument that the Braisa there is implying. Well, Amalei Rav Acha Sava Rav Ashi. However, Rav Acha Sava says to Rav Ashi, that still doesn't really work. Yotze Doifen Yechiyach, because we could disprove that by considering a case of when it was born by C-section. Shaloi also by Makrivin Kekrivin. They are also the ones who offer the Koyanim are not the same as the animals that are brought in the Korban. Because an animal that was born by C-section is possible as a Korban, but a Koyan who was born by C-section is perfectly mutter. The umutter the hedyet, and an animal that's born by C-section is perfectly mutter for a hedyet to eat, but also the gabaya, but it's still also to bring as a korban. So then we should be able to use so then we should prove from that. Just like we should be able to say, madach ha-yotze doifen, which is unlike so we would say, a trefa and a yotze doifen both have this in common. The animal cannot be, that's the thing, we would say, when it comes to a baal mum, fine, as you're saying, you can't prove that it should be mutter as a korban because the korban can't be a baal mum either. fine. But when it comes to a trefa, which we don't know yet, we would say, well, a yotze doifen, a baby born by C-section, the koyin is mutter to be that, the animal cannot. Therefore, we see that just because... Therefore, we see that even when there's that dissimilarity, we still say that the animal can be possible. Well, then, just because a koyin who's a trefa is allowed to do the avodah is not a reason to say that an animal that's trefa should be able to be brought as a korban. Well, then, and we're back to why do we need a pasuk to tell us that a trefa can't be brought? We'd have no reason to say that we should say just because any time they're dissimilar, then it's fine, because we see that doesn't work by a yotze doifen. However, you're going to say, Mali.
Well, this whole discussion is not, we haven't gone over it in Zvachim, and suddenly it appears in Menachos. Is there a reason for that?
Well, the reason is because, that's a good question, actually. I guess the reason is because earlier, on Heyam and Aleph and on the days, we brought up the point, Mimashke Yisrael. We brought up the point that that all korbanos have to be mutter for Jews to eat. So we brought that up in connection with the discussion of the Omer, if the Omer was brought Shaloi Lashma, and therefore it hasn't yet been Matir Chodosh. So therefore, now this discussion is kind of a continuation of that. You're right, I suppose it could have gone in Zvachim. But Pashtus, the reason we're bringing it over here is because it's a continuation of this Mimashke Yisrael discussion, and eventually, actually, the Gemara is going to finally ask, after we go through this whole argument, and we show that, and we show what the Braisa was for, what the Braisa is trying to argue, then that at that point, then the Gemara is going to ask why we needed that whole discussion when we know that a trefa is not Mimashki Yisrael, and therefore it shouldn't be able to be brought to the korban anyway. So that's the Pashtus, that's the reason why we have this whole discussion over here.
Right, but still secondary, it's an essential discussion in Vachim. It shouldn't come as a secondary discussion and method of proof in.
Yeah, okay, but nevertheless, it's not always the case is everything that belongs to a certain masechta going to be in that masechta. Sometimes we are going to have important topics that relate to a masechta that are found elsewhere. That's the nature of things. In fact, that was really the big chiddush of the Rambam in his Yad HaChazakah, where he arranged everything in a logical order, not dependent on where it came from. But yeah.
No, but the Rambam is different, but the Gemara should at least...
The Gemara doesn't have to do it in the same Masechta. That's valid for there to be something essential, a certain essential din of something to be in a different Masechta. Anyway, let's go on. So the Gemara says, but you could answer back. Mala yotze doifen shekein ena kodesh b'bechora. But you know what? A yotze doifen, a baby born by C-section, has this. It has this also. It's not. If it was a bechor, it's not considered holy. As opposed to a bechor that was a trefa, still has the kedusha of a bechor. Well, okay, then the answer is to that Baal Mum Yathiyah. Well, we'll prove to the contrary from a Baal Mum, where a Bechor that was born with a Mum also has the Din of Bechor. So again, Mala Baal Mum Shekin also by Makriven Kekraven. So now you're going to try to bring over the point that when it comes to Baal Mum, neither the animal nor the Koyin can be a Baal Mum. Again, Yotze Doifen Yechiyach. So now you'll prove to the contrary from the Yotze Doifen. And again, Bechazer Adin, so you'll go back and forth. Loide Ezekir Ezev, Loide Ezekir Ezev. Each one has a feature, the other one doesn't. Atzad HaShavah Shereham Shemutorim LaHedit VaAsurim LaGavoya. What do they have in common is that they're both mutter to the hedyet, but they're still osir for a korban. So then kol shekein treifa. So kol shekein treifa shasur la hedyet kei asur la gavaya. So then we should be able to make the kal v'chomer after all that a treifa, which is osir for a hedyet, should also be osir la gavaya, and therefore the pasuk shouldn't be necessary. So ultimately, again, no matter what we're going to try to prove, we can still ultimately say that we have a logical reason to say that a trefa is possible as a korban, and therefore we shouldn't need the pasuk. So what is the braisa implying with its phrase? The im heshavda implying there's a logical reason you might have thought, after all, that a trefa should be mutter as a korban, and we have to have a pasuk. Tell us otherwise. When on the face of it, each argument that we went through seems to wind up. We seem to be able to show that after all, logically, a trefa can't be brought as a korban anyhow. So Rav Ashi answers back, Mala Tzad HaShavah Shebehem Shekein Lehutru Miklolon. You know what, though? I'll tell you. There's a Tzad HaShavah that a Baal Mum and a baby born by C-section have Shekein Lehutru Miklolon. There's no exception to the rule. A Baal Mum is always possible as a korban. A baby animal born by C-section is always possible as a korban. Toma b'treifa, how do you think the same thing should be true by treifa? Shohutra miklala, where you have, there's an exception to the rule, namely that a treifa is, mutter. Which the Gemara is now going to discuss what we mean by a treifa is mutter. So that's Amalei Rav Acha, Rav Derav, Rav Ashi. Treifa, shohutra miklala, maihi. What do you mean that there's a case where, a creature, that's treifa, could be brought as a carbon? Do you mean the fact that when you do a malika of an olas ha'oif, now what you do is, as now we learned about it in Zvachim, we're going to learn also about it in Cholin, now what happens is, when unlike shchita, which is done from the front of the neck, and the first thing you do is you cut through the windpipe and the esophagus, when it comes to malika, is the other way around, it's done from the back of the neck, and davka from the back of the neck, we'll learn about it in Cholin, Be'ez Hashem. And that means the first thing you're cutting through is the spine and the spinal cord and the muscles around it. Ordinarily, that kind of thing would make an animal a treifa. And yet, here, because that's something that's not going to survive. And then only then are you going and cutting through the windpipe and the esophagus. So therefore, you're going to say that's what it means, that you have an exception to the rules of treifa, that when malika is done, the bird becomes treifa momentarily before the malika is finished. And you're saying that nevertheless it's mutter. Well, in that case, then the whole tzada shava wouldn't work anyway, because baal mum ba'oif is nami ishturi. If we're talking about birds, then a baal mum is also allowed by birds. Because as we learned, tamus v'zachus v'behema, the concept that a korban has to be unblemished, and that it has to be, and that certain korbanos have to be a male, is specifically by animals. But those rules do not apply by birds. As we learned in Zvachim, a bird cannot be missing a limb altogether, and we had a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether that means missing or just non-functional, but whatever, a minor mum does not passel a bird. And for that matter, an oila or chatas with animal, or an oila with animals always has to be a male, but and a chatas with animals almost always is a female, but those rules don't apply to birds. You can bring either a male or a female for an oila or a chatas. So therefore, so what are you going to try to make? Tzad HaShava between Baal Mum and Yotze Doifin, and say based on that you're going to try to learn the Treifa, and you're going to say that Tzad, and you're going to say on the other hand the Treifa has an exception to the rule, but if you're going to talk about the exception with the Treifa, the same exception applies to a Baal Mum as well. So then the whole Tzad HaShava falls apart, and we don't have any reason to say that a Treifa should be allowed for a carving. So you're going to say ella malika de chata sa'if. So you're going to talk about the fact that you do malika by a chata sa'if, la koyanim, where after all the koyanim eat it. But no, koyanim is shochen gavoya kazochu. The koyanim, when they eat from the korban, they're eating from the table of Hashem. In other words, once we say that it's mutter for the mizbeach, then it also becomes mutter for the koyanim, because they're just eating, so to speak, they're getting a portion from Hashem's table. So therefore, again, they're allowed to eat a chatas ha'oif that has a mum. They're also allowed to eat a chatas ha'oif that has a treifa. So then, in that case, so you wouldn't be able to slog up the kavachoyma and say that loy hutrum that baal mum never is hutrum miklolam, because the same hutrum miklolam that you have by treifa, you also have by baal mum. So then we should be able to make a kavachoymer that a treifer should be also as a korban, and we don't need the pasuk after all. So the Gemara says, fine, the ela porichochi. Rather, here's what you're going to try to, here's how you could slog up this tzad ha'shove. You would say, malat tzad ha'shove shebehen shekein mumon nikr. Because you know what, when it comes to a baal mum, and when it comes to a yotze doifen, it's both something very recognizable. A mum, by definition, is something that noticeable. It's something on the outside of the body. It may be subtle, but it's on the outside of the body, and therefore it has a special din, and we're going to say it's always also as a korban. And a yotze doifen is unusual enough that it's also, there's a coil to it. When a baby animal was born by C-section, everybody tends to hear about it. In fact, in modern Hebrew, they actually would use the word yotze doifen, or yotze doifen, however they pronounce it, whatever, to mean unusual. Like they use it as a figure of speech, means unusual or noteworthy or something like that, precisely because a yotze doifen is so unusual. Tosfos points out, all the other ones that also you have, for example, an animal that's not yet 8 days old, Osev es Bnoi, an animal that Mukso Nevad, where it was designated for Avodah Zarah or for a Korban for Avodah Zarah, Esnanum Chir Reveya, etc., all of those also have a Koil, as opposed to a Trefa can be deep inside the animal, the animal's Kishkis, and nobody's going to know about it. So therefore, but all those other ones can be called Mumay Nikir. So we have a reason to say that those two toim of a treifa. But how do you say the same thing should be by a treifa? Shekain ein mum or nicker, because the mum is not so noticeable. Because again, the mum can be deep inside the body, where it's not going to be known until after the animal is shechted. So mishum hochi itzrich kra. Now that explains. Now we can understand what the Braisa was implying. This was the argument that the Braisa was implying, that you should have a reason to say that after all a treifa would be mutter. You would say the rule would be anything where the mum is noticeable. So any of these things that we just listed, the two that we just listed over here, bal mum and yotze dofen, where it's noticeable and it has a coil, and the whole other list that Tosfos gave. The rule would be, any time that there's a coil for it, then we would say it's possible as a korban. But a treifa, by definition, almost by definition, is not, because a treifa can be deep inside the body, and therefore we would have thought that it might be mutter were it not for the pasuk min ha-bokher. In fact, actually, the Malbim points out that the Malbim's pirush on Chumash is basically an independent pirush, but we're in the parts of Chumash that have medrash halacha, mechilta sifra sifri, then his commentary is basically a commentary on those, how those braises go through the psukim and explain how we derive the dinim from the psukim. Many times when the Gemara will quote a braisa that begins with a pasuk and gives a drasha from it, more often than not, will come from one of those collections, and the Malbim wrote a pirush to explain exactly how, what forced the Chachamim to get that Jerusha from the Pasuk. So here he explains that just before that, if you look in Sifra on these Psukim, right before this, the Sifra had brought a point mentioning exactly that point about certain things, about a mum and other similar things that are nicker, that are very noticeable. So now when the Braisa is discussing the matter of a Trefa, it didn't need to repeat the argument. It just said, just use the expression, the imhe shavta, if you were going to answer, meaning if you were going to answer using the very same point that we just said in the previous braisa, then the answer, and you might think on that grounds to say that a treifa is different, nevertheless we say it's not so. So that's why the braisa didn't bother spelling it out, but here we had to have all the amiroyim, we're going through this back and forth discussion until we finally arrived at what that argument was that the braisa was hinting at with those two words. So now that we went through that whole discussion, now the question is, utrefa mehocha nafka? So you're telling me then that you're learning that you can't bring a trefa as a korban from the words mina boker? And we have this whole discussion where, why do we need the pasuk after all, is because ultimately we might have thought that a trefa is different. The fact is, mimashki Yisrael. Don't we learn it from that pasuk, mimashki Yisrael, mina mutter Yisrael, that you can bring a korban only from something that is mutter for Jews to eat? And since a Jew cannot eat a treifa, automatically you can't bring it as a korban. Why would we need it? Why would we need a different pasuk for that? Here's another point. And furthermore, mi kol asher yaver tachas hashavet nafka. Furthermore, we can also learn it from the fact that it says by a bechor. Oh, sorry, not a bechor. When it talks about ma'aser behemah. How do you do ma'aser behemah? We'll learn in Masech the Bechoros in a few months, Be'ez Hashem, that you put the animals in a pen, newborn animals in a pen, and you have them go out one by one, and then every tenth one is ma'aser. Now, the pasuk says, Kolim asher yaver tachas hashavet, anything that goes under the stick, then each tenth one becomes it, because you use a stick, and the tenth, you have a stick dipped in red paint, and every tenth one, you daub some paint on the animal and declare it ma'aser. So prat the treifa she'eino everes. The word kol asher yaver, anything that will pass through, excludes a treifa, which is not considered to be passing through, because it doesn't have chayus, because it doesn't have its full life force. So therefore, so you don't have to count it towards. So therefore, you don't have to count it towards ma'ase behema. Now, according to that way of understanding it, it would mean that any of the treifas, any of the conditions that make an animal treifa, as long as you know that this particular animal has it, then you wouldn't count it for ma'aser behemah. In Bechorus, where the Gemara also brings this to Rasha, Rashi explains we don't necessarily mean all the treifas, but specifically one of the treifas is where an animal's leg is broken above a certain point. We'll learn about it in Chulin, Be'ez Hashem, and that one, an animal that has that condition, is not going to be able to walk, and then we can learn from that to all the other treifas as well. So the point is that from that alone, we learn that a treifa is not a treifa is not to be brought as a korban, and then we should learn, and then in turn we have a gzeirah shava from that. The Gemara explains in Bechorus we'd have a gzeirah shava from that that the same thing applies to all other korbanos. So at this point, we seem to have three psukim from which we can learn that a treifa is not brought as a korban. We have min abokar, which was the braisa on heyom and beis that we've just spent all this time analyzing. We have the pasuk. We have Mimashke Yisrael, which we originally discussed in connection with the Minchas Omer. And then we have this Kol Asher Yaver Tachas HaShoveh. So why do we need three psukim to teach us the same din? And the answer is tzuchi. We do need all three of them. Di Mimashke Yisrael, if we had only the pasuk Mimashke Yisrael, which, by the way, I mean, the pasuk Mimashke Yisrael is a pasuk in Yechezkel. The Gemara could easily answer, I suppose, that we don't learn halachas from Nevi'im anyway. But the Gemara mentions a number of these things that we see that are sourced in Pesukim and Yechezkel. The Gemara mentions in various places that these are not new dinim that Yechezkel is teaching us. He, as a Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu, can't do that anyway. These are all halachas from Moshe Sinai, which Yechezkel was told to write down in his Nevuah. So therefore, the Gemara apparently is not bothered by the fact that it's a pasuk from Nevi'im, because anyway, the Gemara understands that it's a din min haTorah that this was first written down over here. But if we only had that, then you would say, fine, it excludes a treifa, but only when the treifa never had a time when it was mutter. So it became a treifa before it was even born. Dumya de Orla with Kalaya Kerem, because after all, it has to be similar to Orla and Kalaya Kerem. The pasuk Mimashke Yisrael, we're learning from it. The pasuk Mimashke Yisrael means from what Jews are able to drink. So from that, we learn that you can't use wine for Nesachim that comes from an Orla vineyard or Kalaya Kerem. And in turn, we extend that to all the korbanos. Well, Orla and Kalaya Kerem are also as soon as they start growing. By definition, an Orla is the first 3 years of the tree, and Kalaya Kerem is where, in fact, Rashi also points out that right before the words Mimashke Yisrael, the pasuk says Minatzoin Minamosayim. You have to bring from the sheep from the 200 Mimashke Yisrael. That number 200 is the amount that we learn from that. We learn from that pasuk that Orla and Kalaya Kerem are both a 1 in 200. Meaning that if you have, you have some wine of Orla and it accidentally got mixed with regular wine, in the same way as most things are bottled with Shishim, Orla and Kalaya Kerem, you need 200 times as much regular wine, and then the wine of Orla is bottled and you can use it for Nesachim. So we're talking about Orla and Kalaya Kerem. Well, those are also when they first come into existence. Then you could learn from that, fine, that a treifa, that when it first came into existence was treifa, then you can't bring it as a korban. Tosfos discusses a little bit. You have certain scenarios where Kalaya Kerem at least could happen later on, but whatever. The point is that basically from when they become Osir, then they're Osir from then. There was never a time when they were Mutter and then afterwards became Osir. There was never a time when they were Mutter, having been Orla or Kalaya Kerem, and then be Mutter the same way you could say that only an animal that always was Treifa is going to be included in that. Aval hoisel shasa kosher, but if it ever had a time in its life when it was mutter for a korban, emak tiskasher, you would think maybe it would be kosher. Kosher rahmana, kol asher yaver. Therefore, you have the pasuk by the meiser sheni, by meiser behema, that says that is only if the animal can walk with its full chayus. Is it to be counted, meaning, and not if it's treifa? And there it applies, no matter when in its life it became treifa, even if it was later on. So therefore we need those two psukim. The e kosher rahmana kol asher yaver, but if you had only the pasuk kol asher yaver, have a minimum uti hechad nitrofa all of a seifik disha. Fine, that excludes the case where the animal became treif and then it became treifa and then you were makdish it. Dumya de meiser, because that's what we're talking about as far as meiser. The animal was not yet meiser behema. Now you're walking it through, and if it were to come out the tenth, it would be meiser behema, and the pasuk is telling us because this animal is treifa, don't do that. Abel Hakdushah was safe Nitrafa, but if he declared it as a korban and later on it became Shefa, the Idna de Akdashah Habachazia, and when he, so therefore when he was Makdash it still was suitable, Ematiskasha, you would think maybe it should be kosher, Pasuk Nachmanim bin Abakar, therefore the Torah tells us, the Pasuk bin Abakar, that even then it's Pasuk Tzrichi, so it comes out, you need all three Psukim. And vice versa, I think Gemara doesn't go further to say, well, what about, you could say the other way around and just say Minat Boker and not need the other two. The Gemara doesn't go into that, but preposterous, we would say if we only had Minat Boker, we would think that maybe it Taka excludes only where it was born with the Terefa or whatever. So therefore we ended up needing all three Psukim, and each one clarifies about the next one what it's referring to. So ultimately we do have all these psukim, and from them we learn different aspects of the fact that a tzreifa is possible for a carbon. Tosfos points out in various places in Shas, the Gemara does usually use the pasuk mimashke Yisrael to say that for example, that a nevan, that an animal that was worshipped as a rezara, is possible, even though on the face of it we're saying that we should learn it from a different pasuk, because once we're saying that we need all three psukim and we need all three of them together, so then there's no need to distinguish, and then we might as well quote Mimashke Yisrael, which is an easier pasuk to understand it from. Okay. So that's that. So yeah, that was all kind of a side discussion, having been brought up by this point of about the Minchas Ha'omer that was Shalom L'Shma, where we mentioned as long as Chodesh is still Osir, then on the face of it, it's not Mimashke Yisrael, and therefore that got us into this whole discussion of Mimashke Yisrael and of the source that a Tzreifer is Osir. You're right, it probably could have put that particular part about the Tzreifer in Zvachim as well, but again, it's common enough that the Gemara will leave certain details for other Masechtos. Mishnah says, Echad minchas choite, the echad kolamanachas, whether a minchas choite, the mincha that a person brings for a korban or the yoda that we discussed before, or all other menachas, shekomsan, if the kmitza was done by zor, by a zor, oinen, a kohen who's an oinen, whose close relative passed away that day. We learned about in Zvachim, there's sometimes when an Oinen is also daraisa, sometimes when he's also darabanan, we went through the whole discussion in connection with Aaron Akoyen. Tvoyoim, a person who toiled that day and has not yet had a head of Shemesh, Mechusib Godim, if he's lacking clothes, if he doesn't have the proper number of clothes for a Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hadyet respectively, or if he has more of them, we also learned in Zvachim, also mentioned Basel, each one of them we learned in Zvachim, we went through them one by one and learned Psukim from which we learned that they're Basel and that they're Mechal al Avoida, that they cause the Avoida to be desecrated and Basel. Mechusa Kippurim, a person who is lacking in Kapara, a Zav, in particular a Zav or a Metzora, who have gone through most of the stages of their Tara, but still have to bring their Korban. They still have to bring their Korban Nais, rather. So then they're Mechusa Kippurim, and they can't yet do the Avoda. Shaloi Rochatz Yodav Raglav, a Kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet. Oral, if he's an oral, he doesn't have a bris milah. We learned about in Zvachim, we had a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, is it in all cases when he's an oral, even if it's not his fault, because it would be dangerous for his health, or according to Tosfos, we learned over there, that would only be if he doesn't want to have a bris milah, because he rejects the mitzvah, but if he can't do it because of his health, then in fact, there would have been a time learned to Tosfos, he would actually be allowed to do the avodah. The point is, the Pasuk uses the expression, Erel Lev Erel Basar, someone who's uncircumcised of heart and uncircumcised of flesh. So does that mean he's uncircumcised of flesh? He doesn't have a bris milah, no matter what. Or does it mean only when he's uncircumcised in his heart, he doesn't want it because, for example, he rejects the mitzvah, then for sure he's possible. But you could also have, for example, Rabbi Natan explains it could be that he doesn't want a bris milah because he's afraid of the pain. So fine, he's afraid of the pain, we understand, but nevertheless, that still makes him erol lev. He has to be willing to undergo that pain for the sake of the mitzvah. But if it's actually something that would be dangerous to his health, then Rabbi Natan learns that that wouldn't be a problem, and he would actually be able to do the avodah. Then the next one on the list is Tomei. If the Kohen is Tomei, I mean, we already mentioned the Mechusa Kippurim and the Tvoyoim, but the Oral and the Tomei, Shitim Kubetis points out that the Mishnah often lists Oral and Tomei together. So therefore, so we're listing the Tomei even though it's not really necessary. And the Chiddushim Amir Chosim La Rashba actually brings up a point. Wait a minute. Anyway, if he does it, we're talking about over here during Kmitza. If he does the Kmitza of the Mincha, of course it's going to become possible. He's going to make the whole thing Tomei when he touches it. So he says, let's say, for example, we're talking about Tomei Sheretz. He's not an Ava Tumah, so therefore he's not touches. He's not Metame the Kevi when he touches it. Therefore, only the place where he touches is going to be Tomei and not the rest of it. So conceivably, let's say Chiddushim Amir Chosim La Rashba explains he could conceivably add extra flour and then do the koyma and then do the kmitza, and that way he won't be matame the rest of the flour. Various achronim talk about more different other possible angles in it. Anyway, so there are all those. Yoshiv, if he's sitting, as we learned in Zvachim, the person has to stand in order to do the avodah. If he's standing on the floor, but not directly on the floor, he's standing on Kalim. Agabe Behemo, he's standing on an animal. Agabe Ragle Chaveiro, or on the feet of another Kohen. In all those cases, you have a Chatzitza, and in all those cases, not Lamed L'Shores, because as we learned in Zvachim, Ein Derech Shirus L'Kach, this is not the normal way of doing the Avodah. So you have the Gemara in Zvachim that pointed out that each one is a chiddush over the other one. A keli is not even the same min, so of course it's a chatzitza. Even a behemoth, which is at least flesh, it's still a chatzitza, and even somebody else's foot, which is the same min, they're both human beings, nevertheless it passes. There's this matter of Ein Derech Shirus L'Kach. It's not the normal way to serve by standing on one of these things. Anyway, in all those cases, possible if he does the kmitza in any of these ways. And Tosfos points out there are several others as well that the Mishnah doesn't bother listing. Also a Kohen who is drunk. Also a Kohen who has his hair grown long. And a couple of others, but Balei Mum. But fine, the Mishnah doesn't have, when the Mishnah gives a list, it doesn't have to be an exhaustive list. As the Gemara often says, Tana v'Shayer, the Titan taught things, but left out some other things. Anyway, all of those possible. All of those is possible. Also Komet V'Yad Smol possible. And then also, if he does the Kmitza with his left hand, then it's possible, because as we learned in Zvachim, almost all avodas have to be done with his right hand. Why is it that the left hand is listed separately? We're gonna learn more about this matter of the left. But Tosfos points out that given that, as the Gemara is gonna mention, you do have one avoida that we do find is done with the left hand, namely the Kohen Gadol carrying in the spoonful of Torah into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, as we've talked about in Zvachim. He has to carry in a pan of coals and a spoonful of Torah, and because the pan is very hot and heavy, it would be very hard for him to carry it with his left hand. So in that case, he can carry that in his right hand, the Torah in his left. So we see there's one avodah can be done with the left hand. So therefore, you would think. So actually, we're going to talk about whether if the apostle did the kmitza with any of these, can we put the kmitz back in and start all over? You would think, though, that maybe if he did it with the left is significant enough, as we see by Yom Kippur, that maybe you wouldn't be able to, as we're going to discuss now in the rest of the Mishnah and in the Gemara. So therefore, that's why it mentions the left hand separately.
A left-handed Kohen cannot serve.
A left-handed Kohen, that's something else. A left-handed Kohen is a Baal Mum. We're going to learn about that in Bechoris, that's the Shem. But here we're talking about a right-handed Kohen who does the Kmitza with his left hand.
But can a left-handed Kohen serve?
No, he's considered a Baal Mum. Yeah. Okay, so Komatz v'smo possible. So if he did the Kmitza with his left hand, then it's possible. Ben Beseda Omer Yachzir, Ben Beseda says that he can put back the koymitz that he took, the yachzer, the yichmitz, the yamin, and then he can do the kmitzah again with his right hand. Rashi at this point explains that Ben Beseda is arguing on everything that we said in the Mishnah so far. All the cases that we said, the Zor, the Onan, the Tvul Yom, and the whole long list over here, Ben Beseda, the Gemara is going to explain, is arguing by all of them, and in each case he says, so let's say the Zor did the Kmitza, Ben Beseda will hold, no problem, put the Kmitz back in, and let a Koyan do the Kmitza, and we're good. And the same thing with all the other ones. The Mishnah makes it sound as though he argues only on the left, but in fact he's arguing on all of them. And here's where Tosfos points out the reason why we singled out the left separately is because we would have thought that maybe doing the kmitza, maybe, for example, a Zor does the avoida, fine, you never find in the Bais Mikdash that a Zor can do the avoida, so therefore his kmitza is meaningless. The same thing with the Tevul Yom and the rest of them. But when it comes to the left, given that we find one case where the Avodah is done with the left, maybe doing it with the left should be so significant that now he can't put it back, and therefore maybe at that point it should be possible, and nevertheless we're being told that Ben Beseder holds that it would actually, that nevertheless you can still put it back and start all over again. Chittim Gobetzis talks about a little bit differently, that later on the Gemara is going to bring an opposite Svara, but in other words, maybe the idea is, yeah, again, that maybe once it was done in a way that's possible, maybe there's no fixing it up. So nevertheless, Ben Beseder says that even then you could put it back and start all over again. Okay. The Mishnah continues. Komas, if when he did the Kmitzah, a kosher koyin with his right hand, everything, but for all of the Yodet Sur, but inside, together with, or inside the koimetz, there was a little pebble. So now, the koimetz has to be full. It has to be a complete koimetz of flour and oil from the mincha without anything else. So now, where there's a little pebble in there, then there's missing the proper amount of flour. A gargamelach, or a little piece of salt, because the salt is only put on the koimetz after, is only put on the koimetz right before you burn it. There shouldn't be any salt in there. So now the salt, again, where the little crystal of salt is, then you're missing some of the flour that should have been there. Or kodesh shalavoina, or a piece of lavoina. Now a mincha has lavoina sprinkled on the top of it, but the way it works, as we're going to learn as we go through in the next couple of parakim, the way you're supposed to do is that before you take the koimetz, you move all the lavoina to one side and then take from the actual mincha itself. So now, if he didn't do that, and a piece of lavoina ended up with the koimetz, no good, possible. Then the koimetz, the kmitza is possible. Mepnei omru ha-koimetz ha-yesev ha-choser possible. Because the Chachamim explain that if the koimetz has extra in it, or if it's lacking, then it's possible. It has to be exactly maloi kumsa, exactly the koyin's handful. At any more or less than that, it's no good. So what do we mean? What do we mean when there's extra? For example, that would be where you took the koimetz and it's overflowing. Rashi gives two explanations. It can mean that it's actually overflowing. As in, we're going to learn in a few blah that the kmitza is supposed to be done according to most Rishonim with his middle three fingers. He's supposed to get the flour into his hand with his middle three fingers, and if there's anything sticking off on the sides, he wipes it off with his fingers on the side. So now mevorotz would mean that it is still sticking out beyond where it's supposed to. The other explanation Rashi says is mevorotz would mean where there's flour visible between his fingertips and his palm. It's supposed to be that his fingertips should exactly be touching his palm, and all of the flour and oil of the koimetz is davka in that space between his fingertips and his palm, and here you have some sticking out. And there's other explanations of what mevorotz means. It can also mean, for example, that there's some sticking out between his fingers. The word mevorotz itself can be from the word oruch, brings from the word rotz, which means like it's running out and then flowing out. Whatever. So that would be then it's possible. Vachoser, and what does it mean? Vachoser, what does it mean if it's lacking? Besides that we said, for example, if there's a piece of salt or a pebble or whatever, there's also shekomse b'rosha etzba oisav would be where he did the kmitza only with his fingertips. In other words, because what he's supposed to be doing is he's supposed to have his fingers extend as much as possible over the palm of his hand, but instead he just has it with his fingertips, that just where his fingertips are curled over and reaching only approximately the base of his fingers, and that's no good. So Tosfos points out the Gemara of the Mishnah could have easily said Choser means again where it has a pebble or whatever, but having defined Yasser, then the Mishnah also defines Choser in the same way, meaning aside from Choser because there's some foreign matter in there, it can also be Choser because he didn't do enough within his fingers. Chittim Gobetzis adds the line over here, which we actually have. So the next Mishnah, which is going to be on Daf Yud Aleph, begins with a line which Chittim Gobetzis actually says belongs over here. Okay, which is also in the Mishnayos this way. Kate said, "Who oyster? How should he do? Poishu desas boyster. I'll pass the other. He should stretch out his fingers over his palm of his hand, and then the flower of the mincha should be enclosed within that space." Okay. So the Gemara says, "Lomu the Mishnah Echad Minchas Choyte VeEchad Kol Menachos." When the Mishnah starts off by saying whether a Minchas Choyte or any other mincha, if it was the Kmitza was done by a Zor, etc., then we said it's possible. Why does he need to say that? Listen, Kol Menachos comes from Zor VeOinen. Just say any mincha that was where the Kmitza was done by a Zor VeOinen or the rest of the list. Why single out the Minchas Choyte first? And the answer is Lulav Shimon Itzrich. The answer is that mention of the Minchas Choyte is needed specifically according to Shimon's opinion. So what opinion of Rav Shimon do we mean? D'tanya, Omer Rav Shimon, the din hu shetei minchas choyte to on a shemen l'lovoyna. You would think that a minchas choyte, here we're saying the mincha that a person brings for a korban or l'vayored, for certain averus, you would think that it should require oil on l'vayna, like most menachos. Shalo yehei choyte nisker, you don't want that the sinner should gain. Like this, he gets to bring a very cheap mincha. It's just an isoren of flour, nothing else. You would think, why should we give him a financial break like that? Let him pay for the fact he did an avera. Now let him have to pay extra for oil and mavoida. So why does the Torah say now? When we name ma ena tuuna, why indeed does it not require oil and mavoida? Shaloyeh korban and mahudra, because you don't want his korban to be beautiful. So therefore, no oil and no mavoida. In a similar vein, by the way, we say as far as the minchas soita is also dry flour for the same reason, because she acted in such an improper manner. We don't want her korban to be beautiful either. And there's other reasons there as well, why dafka oil on the vine or not, but anyway, yeah. And, continues Rav Shimon, Ubedin hu, here's another thing that we would have thought logically a certain way. So, Ubedin hu shetei chatas chelev to unu nesachim. You would think that a chatas chelev should require nesachim. Chatas chelev means a general chelev. We call it chatas chelev because chelev is a typical example of an aveira that a person does for which he has to bring a chatas. There are altogether, when we learn the Sefta Krisis, that's the Shem, we'll learn that there are 34 isurim for which a person has to bring a chatas. Chelev is a typical one among them. But a chatas chelev just means a regular chatas. So you would think it should require nesachim, which it doesn't. Only an ola, a shlomim, and a toida, and the oshrim of a nazir require nesachim. Why? Again, a chatas should require nesachim. Shalo yehei choyte nisko, because you don't want the sinner to gain like this. You would think may charge him also the fact that he has to pay extra for nesachim. So therefore, you would think that you should have to make him pay for it. And again, if name ma ena tuuna, why indeed does a chatas not require nesachim? For the same reason, shalo yehi korban imuhudir, so that his korban should not be beautiful. Tosfos, by the way, brings up a point that we're going to learn towards the end of our masechta that when a person makes a neder, for example, a person says a neder that I'm going to bring a sheep as a korban, then the normal expected amount is that the sheep plus the nesachim together should be worth a sela. So then, either way, if he has to bring a sheep worth a sela, so if he had to bring a nesachim, the sheep would be a little bit cheaper, but he'd still only be paying a sela. What's the difference whether it requires nesachim or not? So Tosfos says it's not really a question. The Be'er Zevach explains what Tosfos means, is because that minimum amount of a sela is only d'rabbanan. D'oraisa, there's no minimum value for a chatas. In fact, in some places, the Gemara has the expression that a chatas conceivably could be worth 1/6 of a sela. One sixth of a dinar, rather, which is 1/24 of a sela. The Gemara calls it danka, which is a small coin, a ma. So therefore, so minatoda, there's no minimum amount. So therefore, yes, but if you had to pay for nesachim, you would have to be paying for the cheapest possible animal plus the nesachim. You would think he should, but the reason why the Torah says that not, again, says Reb Shimon, shalo yehi korban mahudar, so his korban shouldn't look beautiful. Now that we're saying that, safkada dechamina, we would have thought to say, once he's saying that his korban should not be so beautiful, you would think also, so who cares if psulin do the kmitza of it? It's also maybe only a korban that needs to be beautiful should also be done in the most beautiful possible way by a kohen who's not a baal mum and wearing big de kahuna and not tomei and so forth. But when it comes to a minchas choyte, maybe we shouldn't care. B'mash malon, therefore the Mishnah has to stress for us that no, even Reb Shimon agrees by Minchas Choyte, it still has to be done by a kosher, a kohen, with all the rules. Okay, So I want to ask Ihochi, if that was so, Hossam Nami Lisni, then the Mishnah and Zvachim should have mentioned this point as well. When the Mishnah says over there that all korbanos that were offered, where the avodas were done by a Zor or an Oinin and the whole list of our Mishnah, it should have said the same thing. Echad chatas chelev, echad kol zvachim, whether a chatas chelev or any other kind of korban, shekibul domen Zor v'Oinin, that a Zor or an Oinin, etc., dude Kabbalah, would be possible. V'leim, a little b'shimen etzirach, and say for the same reason, b'shimen, it would have to be told, because Reb Shimon, after all, is saying that a chatas shouldn't have to be so beautiful and elegant, and therefore you shouldn't need a kosher coin to do it, and nevertheless we do, so the Mishnah should have made the same point over there as it does over here. Alma, so we see from that it's not necessary. Kibin a ton of like kol, v'lekatoni chutz, since the Mishnah says all korbanos have these rules, and it doesn't say any exceptions, kulu mashma, then it implies that all korbanos are in that category. In that case, Hochanami. Well, the same thing over here. Kimin a ton of kol, v'lekatoni chutz. He also says kol amenochos, and it doesn't say with the exception of anything, kulu mashma. Then it should be mashma all of them. So we're back to the question, why does our Mishnah have to single out the minchas choyta and say the same rule applies to it? So the more answers, it's still, there's a reason why we need it. Also having to do with Rav Shimon's opinion. Because you would think, because we established already that the previous Mishnah, the first Mishnah, was not like Rav Shimon, where the Mishnah had said that Shaloi Lashma applies to Menachos, and on Beis Amud Beis, we had learned Rav Shimon had said that it does not apply to Menachos, and then we had the whole Sugya with Rabba and Rava's and Rav Ashi's understandings of Rav Shimon's opinion, but it came out that according to Rav Shimon, in some cases, even a Minchas Choyte is not possible for Shaloi Lashma. So we established that according to Rabba and Rava, at least our Mishnah, is clearly not like Rav Shimon. So now, Sefer Nami, the like Rav Shimon, you would have thought that the Sefer, namely our Mishnah, is also not like Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon would hold again that since he holds that a korban of a choyte should not be so beautiful, then we don't really care who does the avodah of it. Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah has to stress for us that no, even Rav Shimon agrees that a minchas choyte, where the kmitza was done by apostle, is nevertheless possible. As much as he says it shouldn't be korban and mahudr, that applies to how the korban is brought. No oil or levoina, no nesachim, but the actual avoda itself has to be done by the same, by a regular kosher koyin, just like any other one. Okay, Tosfos points out, then what would we answer according to Rav Ashi, where Rav Ashi had said that we could make the first Mishnah of our Masechta work like Rav Shimon as well. So according to Rav Ashi, how would we understand why our Mishnah has to stress that it's according to Rav Shimon? Shutim Kobetzis explains that actually there's other reasons to say, because after all, the Mishnah had also mentioned where he does the halacha. Now we learned in Zvachim, and we're going to learn in our Masechta, that Rav Shimon does not consider halacha to be an essential avoda, and therefore we would have thought for that reason that our Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon, and therefore we need to be told that Rav Shimon would agree with this din as well. Fine. So that explains why the Mishnah is phrased as it is. Now, let's talk about this actual din of when the kmitz was done by one of the psalm. Omer Rav, Zor Shekomat, if a Zor did the kmitzah, says Rav, it's not a problem. Yachzir, then he should put the kmitz back into the keli, and then a kosher kohen can start all over, and it's fine. So the Gemara says, "Well, not possible, Tanan. What do you mean? Our Mishnah had said that the Tanakhama says it's possible. Now, fine, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says Yachzir, but we don't know yet whether ben Beseira is arguing on all the cases of the Mishnah. But whether he does or not, we would start by assuming that Rav is going according to the Chachamim." And the answer is no, my apostle Archie Yachzer, he would say that all the Mishnah means, when it says apostle, means it's possible unless you put the kohenim back in. But you put the kohenim back in, then you're good and you can start all over again. The Gemara says, Yehochi, I ain't a Ben Beseira. Well, in that case, then it comes out the Chachamim are saying exactly the same thing as Ben Beseira. The way the Mishnah phrased it, it implies that there's a machlokas. The answer is, if the Kometz is still available, then in fact the Chachamim will not disagree with Ben Beseira. They will all say, like Rav is saying, that you can put it back and do the Kometz. The machlokas would be where the Kometz is missing. It went lost, or it was already burnt on the Mizbeach, or whatever. So then, So now the machlokas is Rabbanan Savri lo yavi mitos beisavim alevim. The Chachamim hold once the mincha has been placed in the kli shoreis, you cannot, and now some of it is missing, you cannot bring new flour to refill it. So Rashi explains, because they hold that once it was placed in the keli and given the kedusha and given the final kedusha of a mincha, then you cannot add anything to it. And if anything of it is missing, then it will be possible. We'll learn about that topic later on Daf Tes. So therefore, now the Chachamim hold that would be the case. Once it was placed in the kli shoreis, if any of it goes missing, no good. So now that this kibbutz that was taken by a zor is missing, and that's not a valid kmitza because a zor can't do kmitza, then we can't just add, and that kibbutz went missing, now we can't just add new flour and store it all over, because already it's too late, it was ready in a skadish and a kebi. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos has some questions on Rashi, and they say But the question is, though, would the fact that this posel, in this case the zor, or any of these other psulim, if they did the kmitza, is that enough to be kaveya to say that now it's too late? In other words, we're going to talk about later on Daf Tes, we're going to talk about a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, is just the fact that the mincha was placed in a keli, in a kli shoreis, is that already at that point, we say there's a kvius, and now if some of it goes missing, then we can't refill it, or does that apply only after the kmitza? Well, even Rabbi Yochanan holds that after the kmitza, then it's too late to do that. So now the point is, if the kmitza was done by a kohen, there's no question that that's the case. The machlokas would be over here if the kmitza was done by a zor, is such a kmitza significant enough that now that kmitza is missing, then we can't do anything. We can't refill the keli, and therefore of necessity, it's possible. Or do we not say that? So that would be what the Chachamim hold. Or Ben Beseira Sava, but Ben Beseira holds that's not a problem. Yovi Mitzvah Beis Avim Alanu. You can bring from the house and refill it. It's not a problem. It's not a problem to do that. So therefore, the Zohar did the Koymetz. Fine. And the Koymetz, is missing. No problem. Bring new flour, refill it, and then we're good, and then we can store it all over with a koyin during the kmitz. So again, according to Rashi, the vote is, the question is, whether putting it in a keli is keveya, and according to Tosfos, the question is whether kmitza being done by anybody, even a zur, is enough to be keveya. So the Chum will hold, according to Rashi or Tosfos respectively, that it is. Therefore, it's too late to do anything, and whereas Ben Beseder will hold that it's fine. But if the payments are still available, then sure, we can put it back in, and then we're good. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi, but if that's what the Mishnah means, then when it says Ben Beseder Omer Yachsiv, when Ben Beseder says you should put back the payments, the Yachsiv, the Yikmetz, the Yamin, and then he should do Kmitza again with the right hand. But if we're talking about that the koimetz that was done in that case with the left hand is missing, then the Mishnah should say more details. Ben Beseder Omer Yachzir. Ben Beseder would say you have to go back the Yovi Mitzvah Beso. You have to get new flour from the house V'Malenu and refill it to make a complete Isarin V'Yachzir V'Yikmetz V'Yamin and then do kmitza with the right hand. Miboiler. That's how the Tana should phrase it, because then it would be clear that what we mean is the koimetz is missing and now you have to get new flour, and Ben Beseder says that's fine. So we can't understand the Mishnah that way, and therefore we can't understand Rav to be saying posel means it's posel unless you put back the koimetz, because then that would amount to, if the koimetz is available, then Ben Beseira and the Chacham agree that that's fine, you put it back, but that's not what the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Ki ka'omer Rav, le Ben Beseira. You know what? Rav is saying his statement only according to Ben Beseira. According to the Chachamim, it's true, you can't just put it back, it would be outright posel. First, we tried to assume we wanted to make Rav's statement work according to the Chachamim, but now we're saying we can't. Okay, so it works only according to Ben Beseira. He says that even if the Zohar did the kmitza, no problem, put it back and let a koyin store it all over. So he must have pshita. Well, then that's obvious, according to Ben Beseira, that's fine. What's Rav's chiddush? The answer is Ma'u Dekema, Ad Kan Le Kamakshu, Ben Beseira, Ela Bismo. You might have thought Ben Beseira says that it's kosher only when you did it with the left hand, because after all, that's how the Mishnah seems to be phrased. The Mishnah seems to be saying, Komas Bismo Possible, Ben Beseira, Omi Yachzir, V'Yachzir, V'Yikmetz, Yimin. It sounds like Ben Beseira agrees about all the previous cases, the Zor, the Oinin, etc., and he's only arguing with the left hand. And you would say, you know why Ben Beseira holds his kosher with the left hand to the extent where it doesn't possible it, and you can put it back and do again with the right. is you would say Elo b'smol only when it was done with the right hand, with the left hand. Avol b'shav psulim loy. But when it comes to other psulim, the zor or the oynin, etc., during the kmitza, maybe not. Maybe he would agree that you can't put it back. Kamash malon. Therefore, Rav is telling us that no, he wants to clarify for us. Then to state his opinion, he holds you can always put it back. Well, the Gemara says, Maishna, smile. Well, then what's the difference? That the left would be kosher according to him, that you can put it back and store it all over. You would say, the Ashbuchan Lahav Shreda B'Yem HaKippurim, because we do find that it is kosher to do an avodah with the left hand on Yom Kippur, because as we said before, the Kohen Gadol carries the spoonful of Kodesh in his left hand, and that works. Well, then, Zornami, Ashbuchan Lahav Shreda B'Shchita. Well, then, don't we also find an exception with a Zor? Whereas Zor can do the Shchita of the Korban. As we learned many times in Zvachim, and we're going to learn in Amos Sechta as well, that a Zor can do the Shchita. So that being the case then, so why does Rav have to tell us that, and after all, as we're going to learn, as we go through Amos Sechta, we're going to learn the four main avodas of a mincha correspond to the four main avodas of an animal korban. And by an animal korban, the first of those avodas is shchita, and the corresponding thing with a mincha is kmitza. So therefore, so you should say, that the same way as a zor, the same way as we find that a zor can do shchita, the same way a zor's kmitza should be considered significant. The same way as so we would say, at least we would know that Ben Deseder would say the same way as he says it's kosher, that if it's with the left hand it's not completely possible, put it back and store it all over. Maybe he would say the same thing as far as a zor. So why does Rav have to tell us that Ben Deseder is talking about a zor as well? So the answer is no, shchita lav avoda, because shchita is not an avoda. As we talked about previously, why it's not an avoda, either because, Rashi had said precisely that, because it's kosher bazaar, therefore it's not an avoda. Tosfos says from Or Gemara, it's the other way around, because it's not an avoda, therefore it's kosher with a zar. So in other words, the cause and effect are backwards. So Tosfos had explained that what it means is we never find that a koyin needs to do a shechta, needs to do shchita, therefore that automatically tells us the shchita is not an avoda, as opposed to, you know, when it comes to taking the spoon full of Torah, yeah, he can take it with his left hand, not because it's not an avoda, because there's no choice. And then choice was have given other explanations of what it means that shchita is not an avoda, because you always have to do, because you have to do shchita for chulin as well, or because shchita can be done even by psulim, even by people standing outside the azara, as we learned in Zvachim. Whatever the case, shchita is not an avoda, therefore the fact that a zor can do the shchita is not considered to be an exception to the rule, and therefore we can correctly say that all the psulim mentioned in our Mishnah are all, you never have an exception to them. There's never a time when they're able to do the avoda, an actual avoda, as opposed to smol, where we do have one time where smol is valid for avoda. So the Gemara says, and this discussion we basically had in Zvachim as well, as far as whether shchita is ever considered an avoda. So v'loy, you're telling me that not? I can give you an example where shchita is an avoda. V'omer abzera omer rav, shchitas pora b'zor psula. If a pora adruma is shechted by a zor, then it's possible. V'omer rav Allah. And Rav explains on that why indeed is it possible if it's shechted by a zor. Elazar v'chukok sibba, because the pasuk says that it should be prepared under the supervision of Elazar Akoyin, and the pasuk says chukka zois chukas haTorah. Whenever it says chukka, means that all the details over there are ma'akev. So therefore, that means only a koyin like Elazar can shecht the par adoma. So you see that shchita is considered an avoda in the sense, and therefore it's possible if a koyin doesn't do it. So the Gemara answers, shiny part of the kodesh bedek abayisi. You know what? The parah aduma is a special case. It's not a korban. The parah aduma is called kodesh bedek abayisi. It's kodeshim that come from the fund for the upkeep of the Beis Hamikdash. It's not brought from the regular machzah shekel funds. It's brought from funds that are used for the upkeep and the maintenance of the Beis Hamikdash. And part of that is to have a parah aduma. So that has special rules, but a korban, kodshim is there, has other rules, and that can be shechted even by a zor. So Okay. But the Gemara asks, so the Gemara asks, the lav called the Kain, who, what, can't you make a kavah choymer then? Kod shebedek habayis bo kohuna. If you're telling me that even kod shebedek habayis, the par adroma, Tosfos, by the way, refers to some comments of theirs in other places that discusses at great length on what grounds are we saying that the par adroma is considered kod shebedek habayis. Is it in fact the case that's brought from the fund for the upkeep of the Bais Mikdash, or is it in fact brought from machzah shekel money, from kod shemizbeach money, but nevertheless, it has special rules. Tosfos discusses this point in some other places in Shas. But you can make a kavah chomer. Kodshe vedek habayis, bo kohuna, if even kodshe vedek habayis, the par adruma, which is not a korban, and it's brought outside the mizbeach, the Bais HaMikdash, even it's brought outside Yerushalayim, it's brought on Har HaZeisim, bo kohuna, nevertheless, it requires kohuna. Kodshim is there loy bo kohuna. Shouldn't it be the case that could it be that kodshim is there do not require kohuna? A couple of them for shim have a girsa which is similar to a girsa in zvachin that if kodshim is there bayis it's considered an avoida. How much more so that kodshim is there it shouldn't be considered an avoida? So how could we say shchitak sheva bizarre? The answer is Omer of Shishibre David. If Shishibre David says that's not a proof, Midi to have Amaris Negoyim. You know what? You can compare the Shchita of the Paraduma to looking at Negoyim and diagnosing and deciding whether this is Saras or not. The Lava Voidinu. There's no question. Looking at Saras is not considered an Avoida. Uboy Tohuna. Nevertheless, Zeris Akosav is that it requires a Koyin. So therefore, so just because something requires a Koyin doesn't demonstrate that it's an Avoida. So yes, you could say that indeed the paradroma requires a koyin to shecht it because there's a cost of that it requires a koyin. But other than that, shchita, it's still not considered an avoida, and no shchita is considered an avoida, and therefore outside of the paradroma there's no korban that has to be shechted by a koyin. They can be shechted by a zor. We can still formulate the rule even according to Ben Bessera. We could say anything where there's no exceptions, where an avoida can never be done by a certain kind of person, then therefore it would be possible if he did the kmitza and you can't even put it back and start all over. Only when it comes to smol, where you have the unique exception where the kohen gadol can do with his left hand on Yom Kippur, then we would allow him to put it back, according to Ben Bessera. We could have thought that way. Rav is telling us that no, it works for all the psulim, but again, why indeed should it be? Why would we have thought that smol should be any different than any other? And the answer is that so far we have no exception, because zor is not considered an exception, because what the zor can do, the shchita, is not considered an avoda. Okay, the Gemara asks, v'neilach mi bama. Fine, why can't we learn, according to Ben Bessera, learn from a bama? That you could say like this. Why is he saying that smol doesn't passel and you can put the kohens back and start all over? Is because you have because you have one place where the left hand is kosher for avoda. Well, the same thing. It shouldn't be passel. It shouldn't be passel irrevocably if a zor does the kmitza, because we find that a zor can do the avoda on a bama. Rashi points out that as we learned at the end of Zvachim, all about bamos, and before the Mishkan was built, before Aaron became the Kohen Gadol, where the avoda was done by the Bechorim, as we learned at the end of Zvachim, so at that point, anybody could bring a korban on a bamos. Tosfos points out it doesn't even have to be that. Later on in Jewish history also, during the periods that we learned about in Zvachim, when Bamas HaMutter, we find, for example, that Shmuel and Shaul, who were neither of them were Kohenim, brought Korbanos on a Bama. So why is it actually specifically focusing on the time before Aaron was chosen? In any case, the point is that the Gemara is asking that still we could learn from a Bama where we see there was a point in history when Zorim were kosher to do by a Bama. So by the same logic, Ben Beseder should say that if the Zor does the Kmitza, then it should be kosher, then it should not kosher, but it should be good enough that we can now put it back and have him do it and have a Kohen do it. Now you can answer very simply, we can't learn from a Bama, because at the time of the Bama, it's Aaron and his children are not yet been chosen for the Avoda, so that's not a time we can learn from it for what happens later on. Or the fact that a Bama, fine, a Bama is outside the Bais HaMikdash, and therefore you can't learn from it. So you're going to say that the fact that a Zohar could do the Avodah then doesn't prove anything? No. V'hotanya, we learn in a Braisa, minayim l'yotze, shim ola lo yered. How do we know that if something that had to remain in the Azara was taken out of the Azara, so the pieces of an ola, the emurim of a chatos, the emurim of any korban, etc., if they were taken out of the Azara, and they become posel thereby, but shim ola lo yered, if they go up onto the Mizbeach, we don't take them down, as we learned all about im ola lo yered in Zvachim. The reason is Shara Yotze, kosher b'bama, because we see by a bama, it's kosher if things go out of the area, because by a bama, there's no particular din that you have to have mechitzas around it, so the whole concept of Yotze doesn't apply. So we see that a braisa is learning what's kosher on the Mizbeach in the Mizmikdash from what's kosher by a bama. So why can't we do the same thing as far as a Zohar? The answer is no, because that's not really where we're learning it from. Tana, Azois Teresa or the Samach, the Tana is basically, The Tana is basically relying on the fact that it says Zois Torah Sa'ola, and as we learned in Mizvachim, that means Torah Achas L'Chol Olam. There's one general rule for everything that goes on the Mizbeach that you don't take it down, with various exceptions that we learned about in Mizvachim, and therefore, so that means, and this case of Yotze is one of those where we still leave it on the Mizbeach, but not specifically. It's not really because we're learning it from the Bama. It's rather we're learning it because it says Zois Torah Sa'ola, and there's no reason to exclude it from that. Tosfos points out that actually, by a bomber, also the blood is taken out of the kosher, and we still had a point in Rabbi Yehuda that blood is not only that if the blood was taken out of the kloyim, then Rabbi Yehuda had held in Zvachim im ola yered, that even if it was put on the Mizbeach, you still take it down. Tosfos explains the Evorim will be taken off the Mizbeach. The blood, as a practical matter, is going to remain on the Mizbeach because you can't completely wipe it off. So therefore, so in that sense, something of it is still staying on the Mizbeach. Birkas HaZevach gives a different point of it, that they're burnt anyway, so there's no psul left once they're burnt. Anyway, the point is, so fine. So we can't say that Ben Beseder would hold that because a Zohar could do the Avodah on a Bama, therefore it's fine if he does the Knitza, and all we have to do is put it back and start all over. We're not going to say that. But we need Rav to tell us that. Well, the question is, that's exactly that. Ella, so what are we saying? Taima Dashmin and Rav. So you're telling me only because Rav informs us of that do we know it? Holav Hochi, Havamina, Bishar Psulim, Possel Ben Beseder. If it weren't for that, you would in fact understand our Mishnah to be saying that Ben Beseder passels with all the other Psulim, and the only one he says it's kosher, B'dieved, not B'dieved, whatever, when you put it back, is with when it was done with the left hand. You can't say that. V'haltanya, we learn in a Braiser, of Yosef, of Yehuda, of Elazar, of Shimon Oimim, Machshu Hoya Ben Beseder, B'chol HaPsulim Kolon. That Ben Beseder holds that all the Psulim of our Mishnah are kosher. So if they put the Komets back, then it's fine. So why does Rav have to inform us of that? Now, Tosfos and Shittim Kubetzes point out, what kind of a question is that? We have all the time when Amiroyim tell us something, and then we find a Braisa that says the same thing. So why is the Gemara bothered by Rav doing that over here? And the answer is that both of them answer, this Braisa was very well known, and therefore the Gemara can assume the Braisa was so well known to all the Chachamim that Rav has no reason to repeat that point. And furthermore, the Gemara points out, Vitanya, furthermore, we have another Braisa that's relevant to this. The Pasuk says about taking a mincha and taking the Kremitz from it, the expression in the Pasuk is, V'komatz mishon. You should take the Kremitz from there. So what does it mean from there? Mimokam shiragle hazor oimdis. From the place where the feet of the zor are standing. Namely, who brings a mincha? Most of the time, it's a zor. In fact, if it's a kohen brings a mincha, as we're going to learn in Amasechti, you don't take a kohen from it in the first place because the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach. The only time you take a kohen is from Yisrael's mincha, where then the kohen is burnt on the mizbeach and the kohen eat the rest of it. So now, Misham means Mimokam shiragle hazor oimdis, from the place where the zor's feet, the zor who brought the mincha in the first place, is standing. So therefore, we learn from that that the kmitza can be done anywhere in the azara, including in the Ezra's Yisrael, but including also in the south half of it. Unlike the shita of kodesh kodeshim, which has to be done in the north, as we learned in Zvachim, the kmitza does not have to be done in the north. Then the Braisa continues. Ben Beseroim, Ben Beseroim says there's a different drasha from this pasuk. Minayin shein komatz bismol. How do we know if they did the kmitza with the left hand? Sheyachzir, that he should put back that koymitz. The yachzir v'yikmitz v'yamin, and then take the koymitz again with his right hand. Tamalimel komatz mishom. Therefore, the pasuk says again from there, which means we mokum shekomatz kvar. It can even be a place from which he already did the kmitza. and the kiven to cross stomach sidra. Now, given that the pasuk is saying generically that the pasuk is implying that he did a kmitza, which is no good, and we have to put it back and start all over, well, then mali smil, mali shar, or mali shar psulim. What is it? What's the difference between left and any other psulim? So based on that, we know that Ben Deseda holds that with all the psulim of our Mishnah, it's fine to put it back and then have a kosher koyin do the kmitza again. So why does Rav need to tell us that? And again, like Tosfos says, these braises are apparently very well known, and therefore, and therefore, Rav has no need to repeat the point. So the Gemara says, rather, Ella, no, we're going to understand Rav's statement differently. Hok mashmalon Rav. Rav wants us to know that Ben Beseira holds komas vafilu kiddush. Not only if he did the kmitza, even if he then put the koymets into another kli charis. The way it works, as we're going to learn as we go along, the way it works is you do the kmitza, then you take. Now, the kmitza is done from a kli charis. The mincha is located in a kli charis, and you do the kmitza from that. Then you take that koymetz and you put it into another kli charis. The same way as with a korban, the same way as with an animal korban, you catch the blood in a kli charis, the putting the koymetz into a kli corresponds to the Kabbalah. So therefore, you have to put it into another kli charis. So Rav wants you to know, if the Zor or any of the psulim did the kmitza, v'afilu kiddush, even if he then put it in the kli charis to make it holy, nevertheless, you can still put it back and store it all over. Namely, Rav wants to tell us, not like these Tanoim, not like the following Tanoim. The Tanya, Rabbi Yosi ben Yasyon, Rabbi Yehuda Hanachten Omru, Bamedvar Mamurim, when does Ben Beseda say that it would be kosher to put it back, Shekomats v'loy Kiddush, only if he did the Kmitza, but did not yet put the Komats into another Kli Sharis. So, Aval Kiddush, but if he put it into the second Kli Sharis, Posel, then they hold the fact that the Zor, or whichever other Posel, did the Kmitza, would make it Posel, and you can't put it back and store it all over. So therefore, Rav wants us to know, not like those two Tanoim's understanding of Ben Beseda, but rather a different understanding that Ben Beseda says the same thing would apply to all the Psulim. Always you can put the Kmitz back, even if it was in a second Kli Sharis, and store it all over. The Ikadam, others explain Rav's opinion exactly the other way around. Komats, Ein, only if he did the Kmitza, then Ben Beseda would say it's kosher, to put it back. Kiddush loy, but not if he was ready to kaddish it in a second keli. Kaman, and according to that would be Kahani Tanoi, that Rav would be telling us that those two Tanoi, Rabbi Yosi Ben Yasyon and Rabbi Yehuda Hanachten, would in fact be saying that Ben Beseda holds once you put in a second keli, you can't put it back. Well, I'll poke him, the Tanakama, as opposed to the Tanakama in that Braisa who disagrees with them and says Ben Beseda would hold its kosher even after putting it into the second kli sharis. So Rav, according to the second version, would want you to know that he agrees with those two Tanoim as far as their understanding of Ben Beseda's opinion. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. The Gemara is going to further analyze this opinion. Why should there be a difference between before and after Kiddush? And then we're going to continue talking about this matter of the Psulim and the Kmitza and all of that.
Yeah.